You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
neither indeed can be. He goes on, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, look what it says, cannot please God. And listen, I got a wife, by the way, and there are certain things that I do. I know I'll tick her off, certain things I do that's going to please her. But my life now is not categorized by me trying to please my wife or make her happy, although that's what I really want to do. But I really want to please the Lord. And guys, what I find is that when I please the Lord, then everyone else around me, they're doing okay as well. I'm not offending anybody because I'm doing what God has called me to do. And listen, I want to live a life that's pleasing in His sight, because I need His approval in all that I do. He says in verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and mainly because they're operating out of their flesh. In the verse 9, and He gives us a reminder to all Christians. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And another pregnant pause, a comma, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it says he is none of His. And guys, I can call on Christ. I can name His name. I can say I love Him. I can say He saved me. I can say I'm a Christian. But if my life is categorized by not doing anything the Bible says, but doing everything I think I'm big enough and bad enough to do, and it's all sinful, then the Bible says that no matter what my mouth says, my heart and the way I'm acting and living is showing that I'm lying. And I really don't know the God of glory. Either I'm lying or I am extremely deceived. So then, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And by the way, guys, as a Christian, we still sin. You know that, right? And because we still sin, when we sin, it ought to bother us. If I tell a lie, it ought to bug me. If I do something that's not right toward my wife, it should bother me. If I cut somebody off in traffic or as I'm driving and they cut me off, and maybe I'll holler something out the window or maybe make some kind of gesture with my hand, it ought to bother me, and I need to get that right with Him. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But guess what? If I don't know the Lord, you think that bothers me? Not one iota. I just saw the thing in the news in regard to some people arguing as they're driving, and then all of a sudden the guy just, they're going up and down the road and they're shooting at each other. It didn't even bother them, the fact that one of them hit the other one's child and killed him. And he said he shouldn't have cut me off. That's his only recourse. And look, when you don't know the Lord, when you're far from Him, you're liable to say and do anything. And there were some things that I said and did prior to salvation that even right now it'll come back to mind, and it bugs me even right now. And I know I've asked for forgiveness. I know I've been forgiven, but some of it was so egregious. I say to myself, man, how could I do that? And then my mind says, how could you not do it? Because you didn't know Jesus Christ. You thought you were good, but you weren't good. And you were only doing what pleased you, and surely was not trying to please the Lord. He says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, it is life because of righteousness. And again, guys, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness that found in Christ is now found in me, and I now live according to God's righteousness and not my own. In fact, I had no righteousness because all my righteousness was of filthy rags, but I got 66 books of righteousness, and I read it and I study it, and believe it or not, it becomes part of me. And many times when I try to go contrary to the Lord, he regurgitates that righteousness back up in my heart, and I realize I can't go there anymore. Amen. If you would, flip back to Hebrews chapter 6 and read with me from verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 17. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, and I made the point that we're part of those heirs. It said the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which in which it says it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, it says, to lay hold upon a hope that is set before us. And by the way, guys, there's no other hope except in Christ or in God through Christ. And all other hope is simply sinking sand, but our hope is in Christ. And guys, in the old covenant, they used to have if you had an animal, like say an ox that gored a person by accident and killed him, and listen, you really didn't mean it, you really wasn't trying to hurt him, but if your animal hurt somebody by accident, they used to have cities of refuge. And if you could make it to that city of refuge, as long as you was in there, because the family would want the retribution, they want to kill you back. But as long as you was in there, you would not have no problem of them bothering you in this city of refuge. Guys, Christ is our city of refuge. And though I was sinning, and though I was wrong, and though I was dirty, and though I was downtrodden, and though I was doing all kinds of things that I thought I was big enough and bad enough to do, and as much as Satan tries to accuse me of those things, and by the way, he's right, I did do them, but in regard to recompense for what I did, there's no account of my sin. God says so, because Christ had paid for that, and he is my city of refuge. I live in him, and he lives through me. And that, hallelujah, guys, is the life of the believer in Christ. He says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure. And by the way, our soul is anchored in heaven. It's not anchored here. We're just passing through. He says, the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into, it says, that within the veil. And we know that, look, during the old covenant, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and they would go behind the veil. But man, now the Holy of Holies is in heaven. And when Christ finished and did a deal with death, in fact, he killed death, he slew death. And listen, God woke him back up, or put him back up, and now he's in the heavenlies. And right there, he is the veil, and he's in the Holy of Holies. You don't get no holier than heaven. And he's making intercession for each of us. And in the old covenant, with the animal sacrifices, and they would lay a hand on the animal, it simply covered the sin. It did not forgive it. But what Christ did, it forgave our sin once and for all, and not to be dug up anymore. And do I remember my sin? Yes, I do. Do others? Yes, they do. Does Satan? Oh, you bet your bottom dollar he does, and he tries to remind me of it. But man, when I look at my Lord, I look at my God, and he said, don't worry about that. You got my peace. My son took care of that one as well. He says in verse 20, whether it said the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And listen, he keeps talking about this Melchizedek, and indeed he was just a type. We don't know nothing about his beginning. We don't even know when he died. We don't know nothing about his parents, but he's trying to show us, even the Levitical priests that were going to the Holy of Holies here on earth, that ultimately, and we're going to see that, they had to die off. And he's showing us that there's a better priest, a eternal priest, and that one is Christ Jesus, who was chosen of God, apart from the Levitical system, the tribe of Levi, and he has gone on to heaven before us, and he's the firstborn of many brethren, and my prayer is that you're one of the brethren, and he's gone and made a place for you. Hallelujah. I can't wait. Amen. And listen, God, don't listen to me too loud, because I don't want you to take me right now, but when the time comes, I'm out, and I won't be looking back. No more. Chapter 7, verse 1. If you're with me, say amen. It says, for this Melchizedek, it says, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, and indeed he was a historical king, he was a real person, it says, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And look, Genesis 14 talks all about that, and I'm going to talk more about it as we go further. Verse 2 says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, it says king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And again, out of Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, and he's showing us some of the interpretations of the name of this Melchizedek. Verse 3 continues to talk about him. It says, without father, without mother, without descent. In other words, nobody knows where this guy came from. Of course, God does. But he appeared, and then he was gone, and nobody knows even when he left. It says, without descent, nobody knows anything about his cousins, his uncles, or nothing. It says, having neither beginning of days, nor end of the, or length, end of life, but made like unto, look what it said, the Son of God. Abideth a priest continually. And of course, because they don't know when he died, he, as far as they're concerned, he's still a priest continually. But Christ, hallelujah, is not only a priest continually, Christ is a priest eternally. Though he had a fleshly beginning, he still had no beginning, because Christ always was. Verse 4 says, now consider how great this man was, whom it says even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And listen, what we know in Genesis 14, we know that there were some kings, and they were coming down and causing war with all these different places, including Sodom and Gomorrah. And look, we know Lot lived in Sodom, and that was Abraham's nephew. And when Abraham, look, many times we see him as a man of peace, but Abraham heard that they had his nephew, and he said, I'm going to get my nephew. And he became a man of war, and he took his guys that were in his house, they were already trained, and he armed them, about 300 plus, and said, look, we're going against these armies, and we're going to bring my nephew home. And because he had God with him, indeed he was successful, and he slew the armies, and he took the spoils, and he brought all the things back, including his nephew Lot, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah met him. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah met him, and they were so happy, and he gave them all their possessions back. And they said, look, we're going to go ahead and give this to you, Abraham, because you did what you did for us. And look, at that time, I'm sure Sodom and Gomorrah was still filthy, and Abraham said, no. Don't give me nothing, because he was a child and an heir of God. He says, I don't want you going around talking about how you have made Abraham rich. Keep your rewards and keep your stuff. I won't take anything from you. And he met with Melchizedek, and he gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had. And this priest that not much more is known about, he blessed Abraham, and he blessed, hallelujah, his people. It says in verse 3, talking about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham, look what it says, gave a tenth of the spoils. And again, he did, and he was blessed. Verse 5 says, and verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, and just so you know, the tribe of Levi, the Levitical tribe, is the tribe that the priest came out of, it says, who received the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they came out. Look what it says, of the loins of Abraham. And look, the temple priests, they live off of the offerings and the tithes that they collect. They collect them from the people. And listen, from lineage, it would Abraham would have been one of those people. Verse 6 says, but whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. In other words, Abraham gave a tenth or a tithe to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed him for doing so. And verse 7, if you're with me, say amen. And says, and without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And listen, he's just telling us the Melchizedek type of priest was viewed as the better because he blessed Abraham. And he goes on, verse 8, and here, men that die, and he's talking about the Levitical priests, man, they were born, they were just regular men who were called, because of the tribe they were out, they were called to be priests, but they lived and then they died. He says in here, verse 8, men that died received tithes. And by the way, at the time of this writing, they still were around, they still were receiving tithes. But there he received them of whom it is witness, it says that he liveth. And listen, during the time of Abraham, he was given tithe to Melchizedek. And again, no record of Melchizedek being born or him dying. Verse 9 says, and as I may say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. And what he's saying is that he paid tithes to Melchizedek by proxy, though they weren't born. And he goes on to talk about it. It says, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. In other words, Levi, the tribe of Levi, they still came out of Abraham. So it was as if by proxy they were giving tithes to Melchizedek. And again, the least giving to the better. And that's the point that the writer is trying to make. Verse 11 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, and by the way, it was not, but if it was, it says, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise? And he goes on again, after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron. And we know that Aaron was also part of that Levitical tribe. He was part of that priesthood. And he goes on. And guys, by the way, the theme of this book is Christ is better. And we've seen he's better than angels, better than Moses, better than everyone that comes down the pike, including the Levitical priest. Verse 12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And indeed it was. From the Levitical tribe, from the law of Moses to Christ Jesus. For he, verse 13, of whom these things are spoken, pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. In other words, this tribe, they were not priests. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. In other words, the Levi was the priest tribe, and here he's coming out of Judah, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, who was not mentioned by Moses in regard to being a priest. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. And listen, he was the needed priest, because the old Levitical priest, all they did was cover up sin, and there was a need for sin to be dealt with one and to all, for in order for folk to be able to get into heaven. In verse 16, it says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And he's speaking about this eternal life that stems and is rooted in God through the finished works of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, for he testified, thou art a priest forever. And by the way, God testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment. It says, of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. In other words, that Levitical priesthood, it was good for the time, it covered sin, it was okay for the moment, but there was always a need for a permanent fix, and God had already had programmed, or part of his program, that Christ would come in time, that God would designate. In verse 19, it says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And again, blessings by Jesus Christ. Guys, and look, I shared this before. I put on the wall a sign that says wet paint, and you walk by it, you're going to look at that thing, and sooner or later you're going to want to have to touch it. And the law showed us what was wrong, but we had no power not to go there. And sooner or later, somebody was going to touch it, and somebody always does through the Levitical system. They're always going to be weak because they have to do it by their flesh. Verse 20 says, and insomuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this one, it says, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of the Melchizedek. And by the way, the one that's speaking is God himself. In verse 22, it says, by so much that Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In other words, a better and a new testament, a better and a new and a eternal testament. It says, and they truly, verse 23, were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, they were always changing. They would live, they would serve, and then they would die. And ultimately, that priesthood died off, but Christ is a priest eternally. Verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, and yes, it is eternal. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. Look, by him, and by the way, only by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And guys, there are times when you're going through, there are times when you're hurting, there are times when you're sick, there are times when you don't know what to do, and you're sitting there, and the whole time as you belong to Christ, he's making intercession to the Father because he knows what you're going through. He has been through it, not just heard about it, and he makes intercession so that you can get right and be better even in your life here on this earth. In verse 26, it says, for such an high priest became us. In other words, he was fitting for us. He is what we needed. And I love that. I love verse 26. And a lot of guys I run across, a lot of gals I run across, and they're going through and they're looking for a fix for their dilemma, for their issue. And I always tell them that Jesus is the fix, and some hear and some don't hear, but he's the fix for everything that ails us here in this life. And I don't care what it is. He's the fix. For such an high priest, verse 26, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people. For this he did once, and when he offered up himself, and listen, Christ only had to do it once, and he said, I'm going this way only one time. And by the way, guys, with those Levitical priests, if they were not right, they first had to get right themselves. Because if they went into that Holy of Holies or went into to make an offering and they weren't right, they would have to drag them out of the sanctuary area and put another one in, because they had to have been perfect, or at least right and forgiven for all their sins as well. It says in verse 27, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law, it says, maketh man high priest, which had infirmities. In other words, guys, they're like you and I. They're sin sick. He goes on, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, and he's talking about Jesus, who was consecrated forevermore. And look, God always had this plan in place. He knew, number one, that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that he was going to create the tribes. He knew that the tribe of Levi would be the priestly tribe, and that they would intercede for the people, and they would do it over and over and over. And at none time, no time was the sin ever actually forgiven, but it was covered up and pushed along. And then along comes Jesus Christ, a priest that did not come out of the Levitical line, but came out of the tribe of Judah. And he blessed and ministered and died and was risen. And right now is at the right hand of God. Scripture says, making intercession for all of us. And because of what he did, we as believers are rendered free. Not to have to practice sin anymore. Not to have to even try to keep the law anymore. But we believe Christ, and we simply keep him near and dear to our hearts as he directs us and guides us and empowers us to continue every single moment of every single day to walk in him as he blesses us. Might have to chastise you from time to time, just like we do with children. Don't go over there. Don't touch that. You know that's not good for you. Come back from over there. But he keeps us, and he blesses us, and he ministers to us. And one day we will be with him in person. Amen. Guys, be mindful of what Christ has done for us. And he's done many things and continues to do many things. Please continue with prayer for those on a prayer list. Remember to pray for Israel as they're going through. And look, historically, they're always going through something, and God delivers them, but he's watching out for them. But we pray alongside them anyhow. And Father, we just thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, for this time in which we can look through this chapter or chapters in this great book of Hebrews. And Lord, you have blessed us to see some things that perhaps we had not seen before. I pray for each and every one here, Lord, whatever they're going through, Father God, touch and bless and minister to them in a mighty and a special way. Father God, I'm remembering the Morgan family who's traveling. I'm remembering Mary Battle, who's in the hospital, Father. I'm remembering those that are sick and affirmed. And Father God, even for Tony, who's trying to recoup from the surgery. And Lord, he's going through some things big time. I pray you watch over them and bless in a mighty and a special way. Remembering Malcolm Massey, Father God, and Lord, for his cancer treatments. And I don't know how well they're going, but I pray that whatever needs to be done there, that you'll bless and minister in a mighty and a special way. And Father, be with us all, and just simply do with us as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let his church say, amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101-427 Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101-427 Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ.